for me, I love having friends who are better than me. Because from there, you get to learn very many things from them.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Young Women Transform podcast. I'm Heather Risley with USAID's Office of Education.
And I'm Lindsay Wolf with Youth Power Learning.
In this episode, we're going to be exploring what being a youth-led program looks like in Kibera. As with most things, leadership is so crucial for any program's success. Both Rhoda and Joshua are definitely visionary leaders who know how to attract other people to their programs. In this episode, we really dive into where Rhoda gets her encouragement from over the course of her leadership journey.
A couple of times, we were able to interact with some of Rhoda's friends and mentors, and they seem to have a wide pool of high-caliber people who are volunteering to support the women in their program. I think that this is a result of this program genuinely being youth-led. In our interview, Rhoda mentions that they are looking for people who are passionate, realistic, and have integrity. And both her and Joshua definitely have all of those characteristics, which makes them attractive people to be around.
All right, then. Let's hear more from them. Here's Lindsay and Rhoda.
KCEO is a youth-led organization. Can you tell us what youth-led means to you?
In Kenya, in different areas, there's a different definitions of a youth. There's a difference in age gap and all that. But for me, a youth is anyone who is passionate and realistic and smart. Yeah, you can be maybe 40 years, but you're still realistic and you're passionate, and what you want to do, you will do it. So that's how I can describe a youth. Yeah, and youth-led.
That's good. What strategies do you use to engage young people in your work?
We use various strategies. We involve them on internships, like one person you've met earlier, and also in terms of maybe security, you met the guy earlier, and also like in our organization, we basically work with youths. Just as I defined a youth to me. If you're passionate, to me, you're youthful. And you're able to deliver what we want you to deliver. Yeah, so anyone who wants to be associated with the organization and is passionate and realistic, we are very much open to them joining us and being part of us.
Why do you think it's important for the youth involved to be passionate and realistic and have integrity? Why is that important?
That's very important, because integrity is needed everywhere. You have to be a man or a woman of integrity. You have to be. I believe if you have passion, if you put your heart or your mind to do something, you'll do it. One of the things that maybe we look for while we are recruiting the women is passion. If you have passion for something, you won't let it like go down. If you're passionate, like for me, I'm passionate about working with women with disability. Yes, I don't have a visible disability, but for me, I don't have a visible disability. But I believe I'm passionate about working with them because they need love. They need care. They need mentorship. They need someone to walk with them the journey of not only business, but also just showing them the way. Most people don't want to get associated with women with disability. I don't know the reason. But I'm passionate about working with these women. Maybe the last value you talked about?
Realism. Realistic.
Realistic. If you're not realistic, you won't achieve anything. You have to be realistic. Yes, you really have to be realistic. For example, me saying, as an organization, we're saying we want to make women with disability, each one of them, they are 70, and each one of them would love them to start up their business in 1 week. Is that even realistic? We won't achieve it. So being realistic is essential.
How are decisions made within the organization?
It takes a while for decisions to be made. First of all, we as a team, we talk and about a certain issue. Then after that, we forward the specific things we talked about to the board. We have a board as an organization. Then they come again to us. And again, before even discussing this within ourselves as staffs, we have to involve our beneficiaries about the specific decisions. Let me make it clear that our organization is we use the bottom up approach model. We don't use the up bottom or the top bottom. Our beneficiaries are our number one. They are key. Because without them, there's nothing we can do as an organization. So we really strive to incorporate them in our decision-making process.
And how do you incorporate the beneficiaries in the decision-making process?
For example, just as I said earlier, when we wanted to change our curriculum for the training, we had to involve the women. Like we had to ask them, what do you think we need to do better? Where have we gone wrong during this period? So you see, they bring in their ideas and we take them into action.
You can really hear the enthusiasm behind Rhoda's voice in this interview. What a lovely way to define youth: passionate, realistic, and smart. I guess by that definition, I'll be calling myself a youth from now on. Seriously though, it was interesting to hear how when you asked about what youth-led means, what Rhoda responded with was really more about like organizational values. Embedded in those values is Rhoda's dedication to involving beneficiaries and board members in their decision-making process. She was especially concerned about not being a top-down, or what was that, a up-bottom approach? I think I actually like that one better. But yeah, working with the youth, involving them throughout the decision-making process, a real bottom-up approach, which is evident in a lot of what Rhoda described. And next, we're back to Joshua. Interestingly, Joshua wasn't even scheduled to be with us this week as he was traveling in the U.S., but I believe he changed his flight to come back early to be with us, so the pressure was really on. Hopefully we lived up to his expectations. It's notable that he did this interview shortly after his 14-hour flight from New York, which is more than I can say for myself. Nothing says dedication and passion more than getting on a mic after that kind of journey. Here's Lindsay and Josh.
And why did you want to become a leader?
Well, I kind of found myself in this. I believe that young people in my community has the potential to leverage their expertise and their skills and their talent to change the face of our community. And I just started little by mobilizing people in my community, and I was impressed to see that they are interested in what I'm doing, and that made me believe that I could influence more into beginning the journey of creating sustainable development. And over time, I found myself working with different teams, and I learned that I have to equip myself with the right leadership skills to be able to work with different teams to bring change that we want to see in our community.
That's really interesting to hear how you found yourself a leader and then went out and found out how to be a better leader as a result. What are the risks of being a youth-led organization in your community?
Several. One would be it's seen as a tool for political mileage, and that poses risk to us as people who are behind these organizations, because sometimes politicians are very much aware that you have a command of women behind your organization and they want to tap into the network. And we are so careful about bringing politics into the organization or working with a particular politician. And if you are slippery from working with them, they start sabotaging your work. But in other words, also we have challenges with people who want to maintain the status quo. They believe that bringing this kind of empowerment opportunities will kill their businesses. Like, you know very well, Kibera has been a hotbed of political violence, or youths have been used for wrong things like drugs and very illegal things. So when you bring in a platform that awakens them and tap into their talent, the business of the status quo gurus is at risk, and it means we become their enemies. So it's been a big challenge trying to work in a dangerous community and going against the grain. I mean, going against the will of people who control that community.
The next interviews are going to focus more specifically on youth leadership, what it means to be a leader, what leaders need in order to be successful in their own growth, as well as how some of the KCEO staff, most of whom are youth, got to be leaders in the organization.
One of our team member, Rose, walked into our space. She didn't even know how to use mouse. She had never even touched a mouse. And in a span of 6 months, actually I had one-on-one with Rose for 6 months. I was working at KC office during that time. She became our lead digital trainer. So she has devolved the skills she got from our digital literacy classes across the networks of women in our team.
The trainee becomes the trainer, so that's a great model to pursue. Now we are going to hear from the same Rose that Joshua was just talking about. Besides running her own business, Rose is the program director of KCEO's prize-winning Young Mothers Incubation Program. Who supported you to become a leader within KCEO?
I can say for me, I was one of the women that were just sitting around thinking that there is no job, there is nothing. But I thank God for Joshua Tambo. He's the one who supported me, trained me in the leadership, and then I identified that I had something in me that I can help somewhere out.
Why did you want to become a leader and help other young people in Kibera?
Why I decided to become a leader? Because as you can see, we have many leaders, but they don't have this heart of helping others. They only just want to be their leader for themselves. They are that mean to themselves, you see? And I wanted to change this thing. I wanted to change this mentality. So, like, you can see somebody outside saying, if this is kind of leadership, then I'm out of it. So I'm trying to change this leadership. Actually, when even you approach a woman living with disability, talk about the program, it is very much difficult for this woman to agree on your word. But I try to show them love. I try to do it like I'm different from those who have been misusing them in Kibera, because they have been misused with very many people. So that's why I try to show, I want to make something good out of the problem that they are facing.
What's the most valuable lesson you've learned as a leader in KCEO?
What I've learned as a leader, the valuable lesson that I've learned as a leader is that if you are a leader, walking in truth, being a trustee, and you to be humble and patient can make you a better leader. Because working with these youth is much difficult. Because if you are not patient with them, then you can't work with them.
Wow, what a great example of the making of a leader. Rose doesn't shy away from admitting that working with marginalized women in a place like Kibera is hard, But when you empower people from the community who are passionate, like Rose, and support youth-led programs like KCEO, they are able to practice patience and overcome some of the difficulties and keep going because they're so passionate about what they do. At this point in our interviews, we were interested in hearing more of Rhoda's personal experience as a youth leader and what motivates her to grow. So, back to Lindsay to talk more about this topic.
Who supported you? So obviously KCEO did, but who else supported you to become a bright young leader?
My circle of friends. I have a network of young change makers around me that we don't just chat about the daily news or what is happening around us, but we talk about creating impact. So my circle of friends has really influenced my leadership journey.
How did you find that supportive network of other young change makers?
I've gone through many leadership programs. The one that I began with, it's called Akili Dada. It's an women incubator in Nairobi, or I can say in Kenya, that brings together young women who have the passion to create impact in their respective communities. So one, that is one of the community that I got my friends from. Then I'm also Ayali, East Africa Regional Leadership Center alumna. So, and also Change Exchange Makers Program. So I've been able to get my friends from such networks. Yeah.
If you are faced with a challenge that you don't know how to address, where do you go for support?
Myself, as I mentioned earlier, I have a circle of friends who are... Normally, for me, I love having friends who are better than me. Because from there, you get to learn very many things from them. Yeah, so most of the challenges that I face, I get to get the solutions through these friends of mine. And I can say, you people, making sense as an organization, you've been so helpful in terms of helping us tackle challenges. Yeah, because anytime we come to, we write emails about any challenges you're facing, you're always willing to help us brainstorm on solutions to such challenges.
What's the most valuable lesson you've learned as a leader in KCEO?
I've learned lots of lessons because I've been in KCEO since 20... I can say it's since the year 2013. I came in as a volunteer. Because I wanted to, since KCEO had already supported me throughout my education, I wanted to give back to the organization. So I've learned several lessons, several. And one of them being that for one to make a good leader, another important thing is servant leadership. You don't need to be bossy. You don't need to command. It needs to start with you. You need to work things out before the other staff members do it. So servant leadership is a good component of leadership.
What's the greatest challenge you experience as a young leader?
I've experienced several, but the one that I remember vividly is that many people see you as a young woman leader and they think... They see you as a threat, or they see you as a competitor. And so I think with this I've managed to counter it by patience. See, some people just see you as a threat, but if you're patient with them, if you give them time, they will come back and join you. So I've countered it through patience, yes.
What do you need to be a better young leader?
Wow. I need several stuffs because I'm still growing. I can't say I'm there yet. It's a learning lesson. The leadership journey is a learning lesson for me. So one which I mentioned earlier I'm really striving to do is making myself making myself connect with the change makers that do the same thing as I do. With this, you'll be challenged. Maybe they are better than you in several other areas. You'll get to learn from them. And also, another important thing that I need is mentorship. I have some mentors, but they are not committed to making me grow the way a mentee expects to grow.
Well, I'm sure we'll have people lining up to mentor you after they hear about your wonderful work.
So. I hope so.
What do you need to be a better youth-led organization?
Capacity building, I can say that. Yes, we've received trainings on building our capacity, but still, I cannot say that it is enough. We still need it. And that's why we if there's any opportunity maybe that will make us as an organization build our capacity to run the organization, we'll be more than willing to join. Yes.
And that wraps up another episode of our podcast. During our conversation, we talked a lot, not only about how the organization is taking a youth-led approach, but also about what it means to be a youth leader and the skills needed for leadership. We heard about Josh's initial inspiration that came from his mother and recognizing an underserved population. Rose talked a lot about cultivating patience when working with beneficiaries. And Rhoda in particular is so focused on continually getting better as a leader and surrounding herself with mentors. Again, you heard her mention the YALI Network, which is the Young African Leaders Initiative supported by the U.S. State Department and USAID. If you remember, Annette in Uganda also participates in YALI activities and mentioned this as part of one of the networks she participates in. So another example of the far reach this initiative has had in fostering youth leadership. Lindsay, Rhoda also introduced this concept of servant leadership, which really stood out to me. Have you heard this term before in the work you do with youth?
When we talk about servant leadership, we're talking about the importance of providing opportunities for youth to meaningfully contribute to their community. When youth lead to improve their communities and see tangible results of their efforts, this reinforces their sense of self-efficacy or one's belief in one's ability to succeed, an important soft skill for positive youth development outcomes.
Thanks, Lindsay. In the next episode, we're going to be focusing on serving marginalized population, which in almost all contexts are harder to reach. We're going to talk about how KCEO is working to provide opportunities to numerous women living with disabilities in Kibera and the specific approach they have developed to accomplish this. Remember, you can always learn more at the following websites, youthpower.org or educationlinks at www.edu-links.org. If you haven't already, remember to subscribe to this podcast in your favorite podcast app.